Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Debe Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Tarari Vasahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. All right, let's now review what we learned in chapter 1. So, this is good that we completed one chapter. We should feel very, very proud of ourselves that we did this. Because one of the important, shall we say, keys to success is to remain steady. A person who does not have spiritual discipline finds it hard to be steady in what they do. So the fact that we have completed one chapter means we have made some spiritual progress. I'm very happy about that. And the next test, here's the next test. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. We'll have to see what it's like when I come back. One stick is all you need, yes. We'll have to see when we resume on March 1st. We'll see how we are. All right, in chapter 1, there were two parts to chapter 1. The first part of chapter 1 were the introductory verses, which gave us the general background of why Srimad Bhagavatam is so important, so exalted, so great. Then most of the chapter was about the sages, and where are these sages residing? Where are they? A forest named what? Very good, ring the bell. Naimisharanya. Now, the sages are headed by, their leader is who? Very good, ring the bell. And they have selected somebody as their guru. Who have they selected as their guru? Excellent. Three in a row, a trifecta. Excellent. Now, the sages headed by Shaunaka have asked Suta Goswami 6 questions. And basically, they want to know about Krishna, Krishna's incarnations, Krishna's pastimes. Now, look at the last verse of chapter 1, because that is very significant. Look at the last verse of chapter 1, and let's read it together. Since Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. So, notice, now I want you boys to think. Look at that verse. There is a three-word phrase that tells us who is Krishna. What is the three word? Yes. Master of all mystic powers. Is that three words? Do you know how to count? Three words. Yes, Gopal. That's three words?
Yeah, we got three words all together.
Oh. That tells us who is Krishna. I want to know what are the three words. That doesn't tell me you understand the question. Three. You know how to count one, two, three? Do you know what the word means? You're giving me the same question. There are three words that tell us who is Krishna. Mahesh. The absolute truth. This is called reading comprehension. And I'm going to hammer this. Now, listen carefully. Move on. There is another phrase that also tells us something about Krishna. Gopal. Yes, how many words is that?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Are you good in math? Well, you're not doing good in math today. All right, very good, Gopal. Now, the next question for the boys. In this verse, where did Krishna go?
Gone for shelter.
Krishna went for shelter? Gopal, where did Krishna go? Nope. Where did Krishna go? Departed means he went somewhere. Where did he go? Gopal. Oh, that's where he went. He went to his own abode. Now, final question. The sages are asking Suta Goswami, something has gone for shelter. What? Vrinda Bell. All right? What? Good. So I see I have a lot of work here. I will train you boys how to read and comprehend. All right. Are you ready for chapter 2? Okay. Please repeat. What? Good. Not now. Are you ready? Please repeat. Vyasa Uvacha. Okay. I made a mistake. I forgot to do something. If anybody can tell me what I forgot, what?
Before we started, we said,
That's right. Very good. Give her three rings of the bell. Excellent. Repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Can we do it together? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That's better. All right. Vyasa Uvacha. Iti Samsprashna Sanghrishto Vipranam Romaharshani Pratipuja Vachas Tesham Pravaktum Upachakrame. Please repeat. Ugrashrava Suta Goswami, the son of Romaharsha, being fully satisfied by the perfect questions of the Brahmanas, thanked them, and thus attempted to reply. Now, boys, listen carefully. Look at the translation. You notice the way this sentence is written. Three different things describe the same person. Let me explain. So one is Ugra Shrava. Everyone say. The second is Suta Goswami. And the third, the son of Roma Harshan. So all of these three are what we call synonymous. Synonymous means things that are the same. You understand? No, this is different. Synonymous. It's very synonymous with the word synonyms, but it's different. So you have three different things describing the same thing. What are the three things? Roma Harshana. Now the next question is for you. Who is the father of Ugra Shvava? You. Huh? Who is the father of Ugra Shrava? No, because we just got finished saying these are all the same thing. Are you the same as your father? So then that can't be your father. The Brahmanas? Okay. What does it mean that you're the son of someone? So, who is Roma Harshan? How can the son be the son? Okay, when you are... Okay, who are you the son of? Okay, really? So you can't be the son of the son. So who's your father? So who is Ugra Shrava's father? Say it. Say it. Roma Harshan. Yes. He's also your, yes, his name is Mahesh, but he's also the father of Kishan and Gopal. Yes. Now, next question, boys. Next question. What was Suta Goswami satisfied with? What was he satisfied with? Good. Gopal, look at the translation. So since Suta Goswami was satisfied by the perfect questions of the Brahmins, he did two things. What did Ugra Shrava do? He did two things. I don't want anybody except Gopal answering the question. What were the two things that Suta Goswami did in this translation? Yes. What does it mean to reply? What does that mean, reply? I'm asking Gopal. What? No, that's not what reply means. Did you hear what he just said? Reply means you answer a question. That's what it means to reply. Or if somebody sends you a letter or an email, they want you to reply. It means they are asking you something. They want to know what you have to say. That's a reply. Just like, don't you ask me questions? Right? And so I reply. And don't I ask you questions? And then you Ah. Reply means to answer. Okay? Now, we go to the purport. Pay attention. The sages of Naimisharanya. Now my next question. What is Naimisharanya? What is it? No, what is it? Gopal. No, it's not there. You should have learned this already. What is Naimisharanya? What is it? It's a house? Okay, mommy, tell them what is Naimisharanya. It's a forest. That's what it is. It's a forest. Just like here, right outside, what do you have? You have a park, right? Does that have a name? The park. Does it have a name? All right. So, here in Los Angeles, we have Los Angeles Forest. Every forest has a name. So the name of this forest is Naimisharanya. Purport. The sages of Naimisharanya asked Sutta Goswami 6 questions, and so he is answering them one by one. Now we go to the next verse. Are we ready? Please repeat. Sutta Uvacha. Young Pravrajantam Anupetam Apeta Krityang Dvaipayana Viraha Katara Ajuhava Putreti Tan Mayataya Taravo Binedus Tam Sarva Bhuta Hridayam Munim Anato Smi. All right. Please repeat. Srila Sutta Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread, or the ceremonies observed by the higher castes, his father, Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, O my son, indeed, only the trees which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation echoed in response to the bereaved father. So, there is a lot here to comprehend. Now, doing this class is, for me, a challenge because you have 2 young boys and you have 2 very educated adults. So it's very difficult to do this, but we shall do it somehow or other. All right, boys? All right. Now I'm going to explain for you. Then we're going to take care of your father and mother. Okay? What's that? No, just listen. Okay? Just listen. I'm going to explain this for you two. So the key is to listen. Pay attention. All right. So now Sutta Goswami is speaking. The first thing he does is offer his obeisances to Shukadeva Goswami. He says that Shukadeva Goswami is a great sage. And he says that Shukadev has the ability to enter everyone's heart. All right? Then he said that Shukadeva Goswami took up the sannyas order of life, as he says here. He went away. He left home. And he did that without doing any other previous rituals. Now, the story was this. Here's the story. Pay attention. Shukadeva Goswami was in the womb of his mother for 16 years. He didn't come out. You were in the womb of your mother at most 10 months. He was in the womb of his mother for 16 years. Krishna came to Shukadev's mother. And Shukadev spoke to Krishna in the womb of his mother and said, Shukadev, why don't you want to come out? And Shukadev said, the reason I don't want to come out of my mother's womb is that I am already self-realized. If I come out of the womb, I might fall into illusion. So I'm already self-realized in the womb. No need to come out. So Krishna told Shukadev, don't worry. I guarantee, I promise that if you come out of the womb, you won't fall into illusion. So because Krishna promised, Shukadev came out. When he came out, he was fully grown, 16 years old. Yeah. When he came, no questions yet, you just listen. When he came out of the womb, he saw that he had a mother and father, and he said, I don't want to stay here. So he took sannyas. He started to travel and preach. He didn't want to stay with his family because he thought, oh, they're in Maya, they're in illusion. So he just decided to travel. He left home. As it says here, his father followed because they had been waiting 16 years for their son. As soon as he's born, he leaves. But Shukadev didn't pay attention. But this is what Shukadev did. Shukadev expanded himself. He duplicated himself, and the duplicate went back and stayed with Vyasadev and his mother. And the real Shukadev, the original Shukadev, traveled and preached. This, what I told you, is explained in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You had a question? Right. You have a question? Okay, let's look at the purport. The institution of Varna and Ashram prescribes many regulative duties to be observed by its followers. Such duties enjoin that a candidate willing to study the Vedas must approach a bona fide spiritual master and request acceptance as his disciple. The sacred thread is the sign of those who are competent to study the Vedas from the Acharya or the bona fide spiritual master. Sri Shukadeva Goswami did not undergo such purificatory ceremonies because He was a liberated soul from his very birth. Generally, a man is born as an ordinary being, and by the purificatory processes, he is born for the second time. When he sees a new light and seeks direction for spiritual progress, he approaches a spiritual master for instruction in the Vedas. The spiritual master accepts only the sincere inquirer as his disciple and gives him the sacred thread. In this way, a man becomes twice born, or a dvija. After qualifying as a dvija, one may study the Vedas, and after becoming well-versed in the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. A vipra, or a qualified Brahman, thus realizes the absolute and makes further progress in spiritual life until he reaches the Vaishnava stage. The Vaishnava stage is the postgraduate study of a Brahmana. A progressive Brahmana must necessarily become a Vaishnava, for a Vaishnava is a self-realized learned Brahmana. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a Vaishnava from the very beginning. Therefore, there was no need for him to undergo all the processes of the Varnashram institution. Ultimately, the aim of Varnashram Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord or a Vaishnava. Anyone, therefore, who becomes a Vaishnava, accepted by the first class Vaishnava or Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava, is already considered a Brahmin, regardless of his birth or past deeds. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this principle and recognized Srila Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of the Holy Name, although Thakur Haridas appeared in a Mohammedan family. In conclusion, Srila Shukadeva Goswami was born a Vaishnava, and therefore Brahmanism was included in him. He did not have to undergo any ceremonies. Any low-born person, be he a Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumba, Yavana, Kasa, or even lower, can be delivered to the highest transcendental position by the mercy of Vaishnavas. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was the spiritual master of Sri Suta Goswami, who therefore offers his respectful obeisances unto Srila Shukadeva Goswami before he begins his answers to the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. Now, Mahesh can ask any question on what we just read, unless he understands everything properly. Or Mami can ask a question if there's anything she doesn't understand. No, not the boys. This is now the adults' turn. Because what we just read, you probably didn't understand even two words. Because it's not written for you. If we were going to do just for you, we would have to have a children's version. So that's why I'm doing it two things. I explained for you now. Yes, anything, Mahesh? You understand? Krishna, you understand? Shall we go on to the next verse? Alright. Alright. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. That's not, that's the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is? All right. So, now boys. Yes, Mahesh? Okay, crude means uncivilized, no culture, doesn't follow Vedic principles, not clean, crude. Not, well, that would be one person, but even a rich man can be crude. Crude means not a gentleman. No training. He's not been trained. Crude. Just like they have crude oil. Crude oil means the oil that comes right out of the dirt. Before you can pump gasoline, that oil, crude oil, has to be refined. So what they're selling on the market is crude oil. You even hear them say, the crude oil market price is $100 a barrel. Then these companies take that crude oil, refine it. So anybody born is born crude. And then by some scars, by training, a crude human being is turned into a refined gentleman or lady. You are sending your boys to school because you don't want them to remain crude. You want them to grow up to be nice gentlemen. Does that answer your question, Maheshji? Any more questions before we go on? All right, good. Text number 3. Please repeat. Ya svanubhavam akila shruti saram ekam adhyatma Deepam Atitirshatam Tamo Andham Sangsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guyam Tam Vyasa Sunum Upayami Gurum Muninam. All right. Please repeat. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who, out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge, after having personally assimilated it by experience. Now, boys, I'm going to explain this very, very difficult words for you, yes? No. Now it's time for hearing. Unless you hear, you don't know what to ask. First, you have to learn something. First, you have to hear. So, I am now going to explain what you just read, because I know most of it didn't make any sense to you. That's my job, to explain it to you so that you get it. Okay? Pay attention. So, first question is, who is speaking? Who is speaking this verse is Sutta Goswami. Are you paying attention, Gopal? Who's speaking this verse? No, you're not paying attention. Pay attention. Paying attention means listening to what I say. So the speaker of this verse is Sutta Goswami. He is glorifying his guru, Shuka Dev Goswami. Okay? So who's speaking? Who is he glorifying? Who is he glorifying? Shuka Dev. Who is his guru? You got that? Okay. Now, in this translation, he is telling us about Shuka Dev Goswami. First of all, the first thing he says about Shuka Dev is that he is the guru for everyone. He's on that level. He is the topmost guru. That's the first thing Sutta Goswami tells us about Shuka Dev, his guru, that he is the guru for everyone. Then he tells us who is Shuka Deva Goswami's father. Now that question you should be able to answer. Look at the book. Who is the father of Shuka Dev Goswami? Excellent. Did you get that? Good. Now, the next thing, look at the book. The next thing Sutta Goswami tells us about Shuka Dev is that he has a great quality. That quality is called compassion. Now I will explain to you boys what it means to have compassion. Compassion means that you don't care about your own feelings. You care about how somebody else feels. That's compassion. You understand? Compassion means I feel for the other person. So that's compassion. And who is he having compassion for? The gross materialists. Or as your father asked, crude. A gross materialist is a crude person. He doesn't have the finer sentiments of a refined gentleman. A gross materialist is like an animal. That's a gross materialist. He's a human being who acts more or less like an animal. So Shuka Dev has compassion for the gross materialist. And what are the gross materialists doing? Struggling. And what are they struggling? To cross over the darkest regions of material existence. Now, the next thing Sutta Goswami tells us about Shuka Dev is that Shuka Dev spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge. As I explained in a previous class here, now a question for the adults. Srimad Bhagavatam is the very same author's commentary on what book? You guys aren't going to know. All right, go. What book? No. Something. Vedanta Sutra, exactly. Srimad Bhagavatam was written by Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva wrote his own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is known as Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the last thing they tell us about that, what Sutta is saying about Shuka, is that Bhagavatam was personally assimilated by Shukadev by experience. That is what we call Vigyan. Vigyan means I have knowledge. I now put that knowledge into practice. Now what I have is Vigyan, assimilated by experience. I'll give you an example. When I joined the temple, I was learning these books. But then the day came when it was time for me to put it into practice. Then when I put it into practice, then I have experience, and the knowledge became very, very strong. I was convinced. I had so many examples. I told you the story. I'll tell it. I've told this story a billion times. When I was maybe in the temple a week, 2 weeks, they told me you have to go on the subways in New York and sell Prabhupada's books. So I was with another devotee who was a senior devotee. He was already a Brahmin. I was a Bhakta. So we got to the Penn Street station. All of a sudden, some guy stuck something very sharp in my back, either a knife or a gun, and said, "Give me your money." So I turned to my other, because he didn't stick it in the other, he stuck it in me. So I said to him, "What do we do now?" He said, "Chant Hare Krishna." So at the top of my lungs, I screamed out, "Hare Krishna!" And the guy ran away. So I turned to him and I said, "Wow, Krishna's holy name really works." So that is called assimilation by experience. That guy could have killed me. It was either a knife or a gun he had in my back. But I cried. I was at the top of my lungs. I just let it, "Hare!" And the guy ran away. So I have complete faith in Krishna. That's assimilating by experience. You have a question? Oh, you just wanted to. Okay, boys. Now, let your parents learn something, okay? Parents, pay attention. If you don't understand, I will explain. Boys, read along. Just try to hear, okay? Okay. In this prayer, Srila Suta Goswami practically summarizes the complete introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural supplementary commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. Didn't I just basically say that? Isn't it nice that you have a teacher who knows the subject matter and gives it to you exactly as it is? That's right. And that's why I was saying last night to somebody, I am the best deal in ISKCON. And very cheap. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural supplementary commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. The Vedanta Sutras, or the Brahma Sutras, were compiled by Vyasadeva with a view to presenting just the cream of Vedic knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on this cream. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a thoroughly realized master of the Vedanta Sutra, and consequently, he also personally realized the commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam. and just to show his boundless mercy upon bewildered materialistic men who want to cross completely over nations, he recited for the first time this confidential knowledge. There is no point in arguing that a materialistic man can be happy. No materialistic creature, be he the great Brahma or an insignificant ant, can be happy. Everyone tries to make a permanent plan for happiness, but everyone is baffled by the laws of material nature. Therefore, the materialistic world is called the darkest region of God's creation. Yet, the unhappy materialists can get out of it simply by desiring to get out. That, my friends, ring the bell. There you have Prabhupada's blessing. Yet, the unhappy materialists can get out of it simply by desiring to get out. Unfortunately, they are so foolish that they do not want to escape. That is what we call Maya. Now you know what is Maya. Unfortunately, they are so foolish that they do not want to escape. Now I will tell you another story where I have realization by experience. Several years ago, when my grandson was 9 or 10 years old, his teacher asked his mother, and I was invited to speak in his class about Hinduism. Now, this was amazing because this is a public school and he was only 9 or 10. This kind of thing doesn't go on. But somehow or the other, the teacher asked, and my daughter said, oh, yes, my father can speak. So I spoke to the class and the children asked many questions. Most of the questions were about reincarnation. I was surprised. So at one point, I told the children, I said, children, there must have been like 20, 30 kids in the class. I said, children, right outside classroom is a rocket ship. And that rocket ship, if anyone goes on that rocket ship, they can go to the kingdom of God. All you have to do is go into the rocket ship. So then I asked the students, how many of you want to come with me, enter that rocket ship, and go back to the kingdom of God? Only about 5 kids raised their hand. I can't remember if my grandson raised his. I can't remember. So I asked the kids, so you don't want to go to the kingdom of God? I said, what do you want to do? And you know what they said? We want to stay here and play video games. And that's called Maya. Now the question is, why someone wants to stay in Maya? There are several answers. I will give you one. One reason why people don't want to get out of Maya is because they don't think that there is something better. They don't really believe that there is a kingdom of God. So that's important. That's why we read these books, so that we become convinced that there is the kingdom of God, and that we can go there, and it is better than El Segundo. Because if you don't think that there is something better, You won't want to leave. I'll give you another example. I come from New York. And anyone who grows up in New York, you think, we're in New York. We are the best. There's nothing better than New York. But once I finally got out of New York, and especially when I went to California, then I realized, New York? Who wants to live in New York? I want to live in California. But I had to have something better than the filthy, stinky, grimy streets of New York. So you have to learn that there is a spiritual world, and you have to become convinced completely that's where I want to go. Let's go back to the purport. Unfortunately, they are so foolish, they do not want to escape. Therefore, they are compared to the camel who relishes thorny twigs because he likes the taste of the twigs mixed with blood. He does not realize that it is own blood and that his tongue is being cut by the thorns. That is a classic example of Maya. He does not realize that it is his own blood and that his tongue is being cut by the thorns. Similarly, to the materialist, his own blood is as sweet as honey. And although he is always harassed by his own material creations, he does not wish to escape. Such materialists are called karmis. Out of hundreds of thousands of karmis, only a few may feel tired of material engagement and desire to get out of the labyrinth. Labyrinth means maze, something like a fortress that is very difficult to get out. Labyrinth. Such intelligent persons are called jnanis. The Vedanta Sutra is directed to such jnanis. But Srila Vyasadeva, being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, could foresee the misuse of the Vedanta Sutra by unscrupulous men, and therefore he personally supplemented the Vedanta Sutra with the Bhagavat Purana. Bhagavat Purana is a synonym for Srimad Bhagavatam. Synonym means the same as. It is clearly said that this Bhagavatam is the original commentary on the Brahma Sutras. Srila Vyasadeva also instructed the Bhagavatam to his own son, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who was already at the liberated stage of transcendence. Srila Sukadeva realized it personally and then explained it. By the mercy of Srila Sukadeva, the Bhagavat Vedanta Sutra is available for all those sincere souls who want to get out of material existence. Yes, Mahesh. You know, I think I am becoming a mystic yogi, because as I read that, I said, someone is going to ask me that same question. It's a synonym. So there are different, sometimes it's called Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutras, and there are other synonyms for the same book. Now, this is the first time I am actually noticing how Prabhupada has wrote here, Bhagavat Vedanta Sutra. So that is a synonym for Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat Vedanta Sutra. So now I have something that I'm going to try to remember. Okay, shall we continue? Srimad Bhagavatam is the one unrivaled commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Sripad Shankaracharya intentionally did not touch it because he knew that the natural commentary would be difficult for him to surpass. He wrote his Shariraka Bhashya, and his so-called followers deprecated the Bhagavatam as some quote-unquote new presentation. Blasphemed, put it down, criticized. One should not be misled by such propaganda directed against the Bhagavatam by the Mayavad school. From this introductory shloka, the beginning student should know that Srimad Bhagavatam is the only transcendental literature meant for those who are Paramahansas and completely freed from the material disease called malice. Yes? What? Malice, envy, jealousy, sin. We studied that in verse number 2. We'll go back after we finish. We'll read verse number 2 of chapter 1 again. Okay? Malice means bad things. I believe there's even a Sanskrit word. Not mala. Anyway, there's a Sanskrit word very similar to malice. All right. Yeah, amala. Amala. Mala, bad or impure. Amala, pure. Okay? The Mayavadis are envious of the personality of Godhead, despite Sripad Shankaracharya's admission that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is above the material creation. The envious Mayavadi cannot have access to the Bhagavatam. But those who are really anxious to get out of this material existence may take shelter of this Bhagavatam because it is uttered by the liberated Srila Shukadeva Goswami. It is the transcendental torchlight by which one can see perfectly the transcendental absolute truth realized as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Yes. Okay. I understand. I'm ready to answer your question. No problem. So now you have to understand the full context. What does he say right after that? All right. So Prabhupada is saying that if somebody really, really wants to get out, then they will do something about it. That's the implication. In other words, if you're not serious, then you don't act. But once you decide, I want to get out, then that's the beginning of someone's spiritual journey. Now, what he's not saying here, but where he says elsewhere, as soon as someone decides, I want to get out, the next move is made by Krishna. Krishna in the heart says, good, I will help you. And now it begins. And one thing leads to another, and then Krishna puts you in touch with a devotee, And once you come in contact with a devotee, you're on the way. And as long as you keep that desire, Krishna will always help you. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I cause knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. But that's dependent on your desire. If I don't want Krishna, then Krishna helps me to forget him. And Krishna helps me to remember that I don't want God. You following, Mahesh? But if my desire, what's the sentence? What is the sentence? What is the exact sentence? No, before that. Before that. No. The whole question was based on simply, what is the phrase? So there's the phrase, simply by desiring to get. So simply desiring doesn't mean one time. Continuous. It's got to be there constantly. And then Krishna will give you remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And then also, what does Krishna do? To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I show them by compassion how they can come to me. Yes? What is your doubt? You know the answer to that question. You're doing it. You are living proof. At some point, you made a decision. Did you not? That decision was, I am going to be Krishna conscious. Correct? Then, somewhere along the road, what happened? You met somebody. Then what happened next? What did he say to you? That's all he said? What did he say recently to you that blew your mind? Oh, really? You think that this is some, you know, doesn't mean anything? That's very significant. And have I not told you several times? You're just starting. You have no idea what's in store for you. Did you ever think that you would be living in this little apartment? Neither did I. When you sent the email saying that you have to sell your house, I was saying, oh my God, that's a major change. And there'll be more. You're not going to be in this house forever. Do you still have a desire? Read that part again. So have you stopped desiring to get out? No. Because if you did, then what happens? Yes. So being a human being simply means desire. That's all we're doing 24 hours a day, desiring. And by that desire, choices come up. That's all we're doing. Is desiring. Right now, somebody is desiring to shoot somebody. You've heard the guy, the ex-police. That's what he wants to, that's his desire. He's got a list, he's going to knock off, that's his desire. And Krishna is giving him the intelligence. Oh, that's what you want to do? I will tell you how to do it. And Krishna is also telling all the other FBI and police, and maybe you, you want to catch him? Here's how you do it. Krishna's playing both sides. It was Krishna telling Hiranyakashipu how to kill Prahlad. And it was Krishna in the heart of Prahlad telling him how to respond to his father. And then, at the crucial moment, Krishna appeared. So, at every moment, we're desiring. Now, in the stage that we're at now, sometimes we desire Krishna, sometimes we desire Maya. When our desire is Krishna, and it never desire Maya, when it's 24/7, 365, Krishna, 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 perfection. So, continue as you're doing. Do you desire to continue this class? Then the class will go on. When you stop desiring this class, the opportunity is going to come and you're going to say, you know what, Prabhuji? That's the reality. As long as you want this class, it will happen. Same way with your family. As long as you want this family, you will have this family. And the moment you don't want this family, Krishna will take it away. Desire is everything. Perhaps you've seen in the Bhagavad Gita a picture. Radha and Krishna and the spiritual world is on one shore. Then there's a huge lake. And then after the lake is the material world, right? And did you ever see what's written on the lake? What word is written on the lake? Desire. Desire can either lead you down or up. So you have to ask yourself at every moment, what is my desire? Am I desiring Krishna or am I desiring Maya? At every moment. And that's why when we're chanting, we are desiring Krishna. Does that answer your question? Desire. So that sentence is everything in today's class. That sentence. Can you read it one more time?
Yet the unhappy materialist can get out of the material world simply by desiring to get out. Unfortunately, they are so foolish that they do not want to escape.
Okay. Okay, now, let me end this here.